could have, I guess. Do we need a chair up here, too? Oh, there's one at the end. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. No. You're going. Sorry for the delay, everyone. My name is Toni Alterman. I'm a psychosocial epidemiologist. I work at the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health in Cincinnati. We're required by APHA to say we have no financial relationships to disclose. NIOSH is part of the Department of Health and Human Services of the U.S. government. Unfortunately, Dr. Carlos Montaner was unable to be here, but we were lucky to find a new discussant, and it's Dr. Brian Finch. He's a sociologist and professor at San Diego State, and his background fits perfectly. He has expertise in social demography, medical sociology, social epi, social determinants of health, Latino health, immigrant health, behavior and outcomes, social stratification and inequality, race, ethnicity, immigration, and poverty, and so on. So he's a perfect fit for this session. One of our speakers is also out of the country and unable, I just received an email from him this morning, he's unable to return. So we will have three talks, and what we'll do is we'll allow each speaker 20 minutes for their talk, give you a few minutes for questions afterwards, and then the last 20 minutes, Dr. Finch will comment on the talks and some other issues that may be relevant to this morning's session. Okay. I want to introduce our first speaker, who I'm afraid I don't know how to pronounce your name, Haju? Yes, Haju Chung, and she's going to talk about immigration, welfare regime, and health status.
I think you can just throw the ball to okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm very sorry for the delay. so my presentation is...
Oh, you need to use the mic.
Yeah, go ahead. My presentation is basically about the immigration and if there's any relationship between the pattern of immigration and the welfare state regimes and how that relates to health status of these immigrants. So this is just a photo from the U.S. with the caution mark for crossing. so basically, we will review the world migration overall. And then we will look into the characteristics of receiving countries and the type of labor markets that these migrants end up in these receiving markets. And as a case study, we'll focus on Spain and how that relates to these immigrant, how the employment conditions of these immigrants affect their mental and physical health. This is... A graphic of how the major receiving countries and the major the countries that workers migrate from. So as you can see, the biggest receiving the country that receives the largest migrants are the U.S. and Western European countries and Saudi Arabia. This is the number of migrants in the world by continent. As you can see, the graph has the number of migrants has increased significantly from 1990, and the biggest increase we can observe in European countries, and also some Asian countries. And then in all the other continents, we have seen like steady growth of migrant population, except for Africa, where you see the decrease at the end. the number of migrants in the this is another presentation of the similar idea. This is in numbers. So in the world, it's 3.0% of 2005 populations are the ones that migrate from other countries. And we see large proportion of population in North America and Europe being migrants. This is to divide up the percentage of all the migrants where they live. So actually, North America is very well known for migrant workers, but apparently they're bigger, larger proportion of the population larger proportion of the whole migrants goes actually to Europe, and then to Asia and North America. On the other hand, the migrants, their work in wealthy countries, and the money they send back to their home country is very important in the receiving their home countries. So as you can see, there are some countries that actually have the remittances occupy almost 50% of the whole GDP, and around 30 to 40% in those countries with high proportion of remittances. So we will focus on the case of Spain. Spain is one of the major receiving countries and also one of the countries with a higher percentage of immigrants. So when we look into the net inflow of world's migrant population in 2005, Spain ranks next to the U.S. And these are not the whole country, but the top countries with largest percentage of world's migrant population. You can see Spain also occupied is being one of the countries with large proportion of migrant population. And the migrants as percentage of national population, Spain also ranks there. But what's interesting is, so in the recent comparative studies of welfare state, most of the scholars use this three type of welfare state regime, which is liberal countries that includes North America and Australia, New Zealand, and United Kingdom, such as the Anglo-Saxon countries. And then there's social democratic countries, which is usually Nordic, North Europe countries. And then there are other continental European type that is usually called as corporatist conservative. The interesting thing is it's not just about the difference, say, like quantitative difference between how big their welfare state strengths are, but it's more of how they structure their welfare state. So what the scholars in comparative welfare state studies claim is that it's not just some country has less and other country has more. It's more like they have qualitatively different type of welfare states. For example, in social democratic countries, they provide more services in addition to cash transfer, and they usually employ universal type of welfare services, whereas corporatist countries, they usually employ insurance schemes that kind of divides between all different types of social status and occupation. Whereas in Anglo-Saxon countries, they say it's more like means-tested and targeted for marginal population. What's interesting about this table is that the countries with higher proportion of migrants are mostly, except for Sweden, it's all liberal or corporatist conservative countries. And Spain being one of the corporatist conservative or Southern European countries as it is categorized, it also ranks it as one of the top receiver of the migrants. This is just to show in a different way. This is the amount of money sent home by migrants, and also Spain is very high amount. So as I have mentioned, a corporatist country. Spain is a type one of corporatist conservative welfare state, and this is what they call inflexicurity type of labor market. I will talk about this in a moment. This is kind of this is the work that we did for the WHO Commission on Social Determinants of Health, and Carlos and I worked for the Employment Conditions Network, and this is one of the work. What we did is we generated like the welfare state regime types. We generated the labor market type of regime clusters using all countries, about 150 countries around the world. For the core countries, which are wealthy countries, they're very similar to, say, to the welfare state regime types. Even if we used labor market type of indicators, they correspond very well with welfare state regime types or categories. So you see in social democratic labor institutions, we see kind of usual suspects as Denmark, Finland, Norway, Sweden, and then we have Belgium and Italy. And then in corporatist conservative labor institutions, we usually have most of continental European countries. And in liberal labor institutions, we have Australia, Canada, Ireland, New Zealand, Switzerland, UK, and the US. This is just the same information in a just shown in a graph, a map. I'll just skip through this. This is we use the short form 36, which is the type of indicator that measures the health status in overall health and mental health. To see if there is any relationship between the employment precariousness and their health status. So as you can see, it's just stratified by the age. So in this category, as you have high employment precariousness, then your SF36 index goes lower, which means that your health status correlates with your employment precariousness. So if you're in a highly precarious workplace, then your health tend to be worse than people with secure type of employment. This is mental health, and we see the similar pattern among mental health too. This is just the same idea, but I'll just skip through it because we have this graph. This is just to give you an idea of what I'm going to say next, which is about what I just said as inflexicurity. So we have social democratic, corporatist conservative, and liberal. Social democratic is usually called as flexicurity, which means that it's easy to hire and fire workers, but they have very strong social security sectors as well, so that even if when the workers get fired from their workplace, they usually have these welfare services that they the state provides their kind of living wage, unemployment fund, and also they give them job education so that they can get rehired easily. In liberal countries, they're also very easy to fire, but the state doesn't provide these kind of social security services, so a lot of workers are just left to the market, so that they need to figure out how to get rehired. Or in corporatist conservative countries, what's interesting is that they have very protected market for say core workforces, which is usually full-time regular workers. So they have kind of relatively high unionization rate, and if you're one of these core workforces, you're not going to get fired that easily. But then you need some kind of flexibility inside the labor market so that they have this secondary labor market, which is usually filled by the type of employment relationship as temporary, precarious, part-time type of jobs. And in these secondary labor markets, you don't really have a lot of protections, and they're kind of more vulnerable to, say, labor market change and job insecurities. So what I showed in this graph is that the x-axis is mean union density. So in terms of union density, you always have these Nordic countries kind of together at one end. They're very different from all the other countries usually. And for these countries with a similar unionization rate, we have, this is EPL index, which is Employment Protection Legislation. So this is a type of index that's generated by OECD to measure how protected the workers are inside the labor market. They have two different indexes, for one for regular workers and the other for temporary workers. So the one on top usually is for regular workers. They protect regular workers much better than temporary workers, of course. And so you can see, like, these green countries, they have very high protection for regular workers, but they have, like, for example, Greece, the difference between this and this is very, very big. So these are the type of countries that, say, Spain falls into. They protect regular workers very well, but they don't provide as much protection to temporary workers. And then we see liberal countries, that's kind of here. We see USA here has very low union density and has very little protection both to regular and temporary workers. And then we have other liberal countries such as Ireland, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand here. So this graph is just to show you how the welfare state regime types correspond with different type of labor market, which is kind of different for regular and temporary workers. They have different protections. Like, some countries provide very different protections. Some countries provide, you know, similar level of high protection. Some countries provide similar level of low protection. So this is kind of the summary of what I was talking about. So we first saw that the countries with the highest level of migration are continental European countries, conservative corporatists, and liberal countries. So what can be called as the immigrant curse is that countries receiving more immigrants are those where workers are less protected. So they don't immigrate to, say, social democracy, but then they immigrate to liberal countries, or even if they immigrate to, say, conservative corporatist countries, they usually provide low protection for temporary workers so that they're exposed to high insecurity. But then there are questions such as, so are all immigrants affected similarly? Or is there any kind of effect modifier in this kind of relationship between employment conditions and health? So say, social class, is it one of it? Or how about gender? So there actually is a publication recently in International Journal of Epidemiology and Community Health, where authors looked into the city of Barcelona using the census data, and they looked into how the health status of the migrants versus the native-born are different, and if that relationship is modified by social class and gender. So the goal of the study was to examine the role of social class and its mediating pathways, such as work organization, material deprivation at home, and household labor. in the association between migration status and health, and also to examine whether these associations were modified by social class or gender. Sorry, it was the Barcelona Health Interview Survey. It's a cross-sectional survey of 10,000 residents. So it's working population between 16 and 64. It was more men than women. The dependent variable is self-reported health status. It was measured in five categories and then was changed to dichotomous variable. The main independent variable is the migrant status. So they divided all these subjects into three groups, which are native Catalonian, born in other areas of Spain, and foreigners. Other variables include social class, using Eric Olin-Wright indicator, age, psychosocial and physical working conditions, job insecurity, type of labor contract, number of hours worked per week, and material deprivation, and the time they work in at home. This is just the descriptive analysis, the table. The only thing that's interesting is that you can see the age in both men and women. The people that are from the rest of Spain are kind of older than other groups. It's because there was kind of a boom of immigration in 1960s and 70s. So that's when a lot of people from other parts of Spain actually migrated into Barcelona. And there has been decrease after that, so they are kind of older. In type of contract, the temporary contract is the highest in men for Catalonians, and for women, it was the highest for foreigners. This is the multivariate association between poor self-reported health and social class. So as you can see, when we say the owners, managers, supervisors, and professionals as the comparison group, we see deteriorating health by the social class. So semi-skilled workers has higher odd ratios for poor health, and unskilled workers also has higher odd ratios. These are the only ones that are significant. In women, we could see the pattern as well, but what's interesting is that the semi-skilled workers are healthier than the owners in women. That kind of happens over and over. Like somehow female owners are kind of less healthier than some of the semi-skilled workers. But anyway, it's not significant. The ones that were significant are only these, the unskilled workers from Catalonia and Spain, and also unskilled workers and semi-skilled workers in Catalonia. And the poor health of unskilled workers are consistently, even if some of it is not significant, consistently worse than owners in both men and women. This is the multivariate association. So these are the two kind of final models that we built in the class, in the publication. When we only adjusted with the marital status, the health of the migrants, are worse than Catalonians. So the people, the men coming from rest of Spain, significantly higher poor health. Also significantly higher poor health for men foreigners. It didn't, but it wasn't significant for women. And the poor health increased with age, and we couldn't see any significant association with marital status. when we put in all the social class indicators and the type of contract and job insecurity, then these are, they were still significant. Especially for the foreigners, male foreigners are less healthy than Catalonian, male Catalonians. But these associations were not significant still. And for social class, we could see, compared to managers and supervisors and experts, the semi-skilled and unskilled supervisors and semi-skilled and skilled workers showed worse health. And when we had higher job insecurity, they showed worse health as well. Among these, we see we have when we have higher job insecurity, we have significantly worse health status. And when there was physical hazard, and when there was psychosocial hazard, we could see that the male workers showed worse health status than the worse health status than their counterparts in the comparison. For physical hazard, it showed, and also the hours household labor each week was significantly correlated with poor health in women. So in summary of findings, among men, foreigners presented the poorest health status, and among women, the poorest health status correspond to those born in other regions of Spain. And there was an interaction between migration and social class among men, which means that with women owners, managers, supervisors, or professionals born in other regions of Spain reporting a worse health status than the remaining groups. In conclusion, this study has shown that the pattern of perceived health status among immigrant populations varies according to gender and social class, and these results have to be taken into account when developing policies addressed at the immigrant population. For policy implications, migration, social class, and gender all need to be taken into account when health policies are addressed. Future health interview surveys will be useful to study health inequalities in the foreign immigrant population. Our results point to the need to examine the role of discrimination in health differences among men depending on immigrant status. And also they emphasize the importance of analyzing the situation of women who come from other parts of Spain. It's an issue that has not studied so far.
How many?
You're just about. Do you have a minute?
Yeah, okay, I'll just finish with this slide. Okay. So additional policy implications include, we can suggest that policies to guarantee equal rights for foreign-born immigrants and rapid transition into full citizenship with its associated rights could reduce the inequality between foreign-born and Catalan men. And with regard to women, general policies of increasing educational grants and the economic sectors in which professional and non-professional women find employment could go a long way to reduce the burden of patriarchy among women from the rest of the Spain and those in Catalonia. This is especially important for the women that migrated from the rest of Spain because they usually are exposed to higher level patriarchy inside their family and so on. So I actually have additional slide of some quantitative research that interviewed all these migrant undocumented workers, but I'll just stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can take a couple of questions if you like. Otherwise, our discussant will address some issues at the end.